Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Last night, a really cool night at Kauffman Stadium. Bubba Starling makes his debut as a Kansas City Royal. The hometown hero finally able to put on the big league club uniform. And we're talking it over with David Leske. He is a baseball writer for Royals Review and Baseball Prospectus. And you can find him on Twitter as well, at DB Leske. David, how you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing all right. So let's start with the obvious. What was your impression last night? What was your takeaway as Bubba Starling makes his debut?
I mean, like you said, really cool night. I've seen quite a few debuts over the last few years because the Royals have had some young players come up as they haven't been very good, and they're always fun. You know, Nicky Lopez earlier this year, people were excited about it. He got his first hit. It was crazy. Opening day, Frank Schwindel, we actually sat near his family and friends, so we were able to see them just go nuts. They thought he got a hit. It turned out to be an error, but, you know, whatever. They didn't care.
It works.
We've seen, like, Brent Eibner back in 2016. So much fun. But last night, it was different because it wasn't just a big league debut. It was a big league debut for the hometown guy. And, I was just watching on TV. I wasn't there, but I got good fun. Ovation, everything. It was very, very cool. And then you saw the walk-up number of, what was it, 4,100, something like that.
Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, it was a really cool night for Bubba, for his family, for Kansas City, for the Royals. I mean, really cool. He didn't have a great game. He's fine. It wasn't bad, wasn't great, whatever. But he put on a Royals uniform and played in a game at Kauffman Stadium, which, I mean, you grew up a Royals fan. I grew up a Royals fan. If we could do that, that would be, like, the top. And not only did he get to do that once, he gets to do it tonight and probably tomorrow and, you know, every day probably pretty much for the rest of the season and hopefully more. So very cool. I'm really excited to see what he can do. And, you know, from an on-field perspective, it's not like he can be a lot worse than Billy Hamilton.
Yeah.
I know Buddy Bell tells me I shouldn't say that, but I feel like it can only help the Royals for the rest of the year. So really everybody wins, right?
So, David, you're very good with projecting what baseball players can be. I have said a better defensive Willie Bloomquist / Paulo Orlando. I've made the comparison to a guy like Kevin Kiermaier. Like, what do you think realistic expectations should be for Bubba Starling in a Royals uniform from an on-field perspective?
I mean, I think, well, let's look at the positives. He's going to play defense, and he's going to be good at it. He's pretty fast. He's a good base runner. And he's got some patience at the plate. We saw yesterday in his first at bat. Think about this. He had 8 years in the minors and was in his hometown stadium playing for his hometown team, and he had the discipline to not swing at a single pitch of the first five he saw and walked, which is really impressive. I don't know if people realize how difficult that actually is when the adrenaline is just coursing through your veins. So that's what he does well. I'm skeptical of the hit tool. He doesn't make enough hard contact for me to be an offensive difference maker. And he doesn't have to be an offensive difference maker because of the defense, because of the ability to run the bases, all that. He can be a quality player even if he's like a 240, 300, 390 bat, which, like I mentioned, that's an improvement over Billy Hamilton. And I think he could do that. I think he can, you know, work on some things, get a little more loose. He was starting to drive the ball more in Omaha before he got called up, so maybe that's coming. And he did. He's made some adjustments. He's kind of changed his stance and his load and his setup and all that. And so maybe he's still getting comfortable with that. But I think Kiermaier might be a good comp. Well, not quite as fast, and maybe a little less power. But he's a guy. He's going to benefit you defensively. like I said, he can get on base with a walk periodically. He'll get some hits. He'll have a little pop here and there. But you know, ultimately, he's probably a bottom of the order type hitter. But again, you can win with a guy like that. You just have to surround him with the talent to allow him to be bottom of the order hitter. And that's kind of the rub there for the Royals. And hopefully they can. He can stay in that 7-8-9 spot and be a contributor for years.
We're talking with David Leske. He is a baseball writer for Royals Review and Baseball Prospectus. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at DB Leske. One of the guys that I think makes having a player like Bubba Starling possible in the lineup is Jorge Soler. We saw it again last night. He picked up right where he left off in the first half, a double, a homer. He's been really good this year, David. I mean, am I allowed to get excited at this point about what Jorge Soler is doing? Because he's on base for 33 doubles, 42 homers, 107 RBIs. Yeah, the batting average is low, but he's getting a 310 on base. That's fine. And if you're slugging like this, that's fantastic. David, am I allowed to get excited about Jorge Soler at this point? Because I feel like I am.
Well, he's healthy as late in the season he's ever been, when he started the year healthy. I think is he had a career high in games, or is he not quite there yet? I think he had more games in like 2016 with the Cubs.
Yeah, that was the only. He needs 10 more games to reach a new career high, but he's only 20 plate appearances off of it.
Gotcha. Okay, so. Yeah, and he probably got there by pinch hitting a lot in the National League, you know, stuff like that. So the health has been there, which is really good. You always cross your fingers saying that because who knows? he can go at any time. But, you know, he hit for power. You mentioned 33 doubles and 42 homers. That's 75 extra base hits. That's really good. I don't know where that would rank on the Royals list over the last 20 years. It's something I should actually look at. Now that you mentioned that, because that's interesting. But it's probably pretty high. And, you know, he's a guy, I said this to you before, if he's going to be this hitter who's a low average, 230 to 250, 300 to 320 on base guy with the power, as long as he's hitting fifth or lower, it's great. If he's hitting higher in the order, it's probably indicative of bigger problems in the lineup because with that on base, you can't really count on him to be the guy to both clean up and set up. Where he is in the order right now, fifth, it works. It works really well. And I think it's fair to be excited about him. And I got to tell you, I feel like you may be asking me this here soon. So I'll answer it right now. If he's healthy, that Moustakas record now is gone. And so Balboni will have stood for, 32 years. And then Moose will stand for 2 years. So, you know, Maybe it's a good ball, I don't know, but I think the Royals are going to have their first 40 home run hitter.
Yeah, welcome to baseball in 2019. That's what that is. As much as it's been an incredible year for Jorge Soler, it's also a sign of the times as well. We're talking with David Leske. He's a baseball writer for Royals Review and Baseball Prospectus. It is a leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon Kylie Kramer helping us out on the other side of the glass. It seems like we might be getting another wit streak going right now, David. He's up to 10 games in a row. I don't want to talk about the history because I don't much care about that right now, but I did want to talk about Whit Merrifield because I feel like because the team has been bad basically since the moment that he got up to the big leagues, or at least hasn't really been contending since he got up to the bigs, I don't know that we've truly appreciated what Whit Merrifield is. Can you put into perspective for our listening audience and for me how good of a player, how good of a hitter Whit is right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's not a top five hitter or anything, but he's top 20 probably. This is a guy, he's prone to hitting streaks. And I know you didn't want to talk about that, but I'm going to mention it because he sprays the ball around the field, so you can't really shift him. He's fast. He's slowing down a little bit. He's 30. It's okay. It happens. You'll get there too. I promise. But he's fast, so he can get the infield hit occasionally. He's got a little pop, so he'll put it over the outfielder's head. So he keeps outfielders honest. They can't shift him. I mean, and he's got good bat-to-ball skills. So he's really prone to hitting streaks because he's got a lot more real estate than most guys have. You know, there are so many hitters out there who, because they don't go the other way well or whatever it might be, they only have like 60% of the field to work with. Whit's got 100% of the field to work with. And nine guys can't cover that. It's seven guys, really, because pitcher and catcher obviously aren't there. They can't. It's hard to cover that every single at bat. So he's prone to that, and that's what helps make him so good. And one thing, you know, I mentioned with Nicky Lopez when he came up, he'll be okay if he can show enough pop that the outfielders have to respect him. And he hasn't done that so far. But Whit Merrifield has enough pop that the outfielders have to respect him. So he's going to get his loops. He's going to get his doubles. It's really difficult to defend him. And that's what makes him so good. And, you know, he's such a valuable player. And he would be on really any baseball team. I mean, maybe the Yankees don't need him. Other than that, it's like any team could use him and benefit from having him there. And he's just one of the very best. You know, he's not ever going to wow you in any one area, but he does everything so well that he's just a very complete player and really fun to watch. He's one of those guys. He's more fun to watch on a weekly basis than a daily basis, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
and even more on a monthly basis than a weekly basis. The more you see him, the more fun he is.
He is David Lesky. You can read his work, Royals Review and Baseball Prospectus is where you find it. You can also find him on Twitter. He'll link it there, at DB Lesky. David, you're the best, man. Always appreciate the time. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brandon.
You bet. That is David Lesky joining us here on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. Man, Whit Merrifield's awesome. He's a really good player, and I wish he was able to play for a contender here in Kansas City, because the way that this town loved Moose and Kane and Haas, all those guys, man, Whit would be an absolute fan favorite if he was able to play for a contender while he's in his prime. I hope it's possible. I don't know that it's possible, but I hope he's here when the Royals get good again.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.